Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, you gators and grannies. Welcome to this Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show, and we are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what the stations are doing, please try and contribute a little bit to the kitties. I know it would be greatly appreciated by the people behind the scenes. Today I'm joined by Billy Joyce. Billy's a podcaster. I've known Billy now for probably 3 years, 4 years now. I think I've known Billy. And I really enjoy the podcast that he puts out. I believe that we see things pretty well on the same level on a lot of different aspects of what's going on in our country right now. Welcome to the show, Billy. And I always like to start the show off with your pet peeve of the week. So I know there's quite a few of them, and I've got a few of my own. But what is your number one pet peeve this week, my friend? Welcome to the Big Puzzle.
Well, I guess with the state of things in Canada, if I'm only able to go one pet peeve, I'm going to go one that's broad enough that we can branch off on other topics. I'm going to say the state of Chinada. Actually, it's probably better to say Chinadistan. Chinadistan is probably a better name for Canada right now than Canada. So I guess my pet peeve would be the state of politics and media coverage in Canada right now are probably the two biggest things that are driving our country closer and closer to communism. And they're doing it in a way, I don't know what you'd call it. If it's, anecdote, you know, the frog, you put a frog in cold water and you turn up the temperature and let it gradually warm up. It'll sit there and let itself cook to death. Whereas if you put it in boiling water, it kind of jumps out. Well, I think in Canada, every single aspect of our society, from the legal system right down to our education system, has been affected by globalists. I'll even go as far as to say globalist, occultish, satanic, either wittingly or unwittingly. We've gone full-blown satanic in Canada, and it's frightening, and we have to stand up real quick, or it's going to go downhill fast.
You know what, Billy, I couldn't agree with you more. I sit back in shock and awe at what I see going on in this country right now and how fast things are accelerating. And that's really what blows me away, is how fast these things are coming at us, and yet Canadians are still sitting back watching their hockey game and drinking their beer and eating their popcorn. And I just can't understand it when I watch my country and what's going on. And it doesn't take a lot of research, Billy. You know it, I know it, to find out that some very, very nefarious things are going on in this country right now that need to come to a stop if we're going to have a country in the future. It's that serious a situation. And the communist takeover of Canada is in full-blown warp speed mode right now.
And
all you have to do, Billy, read the Communist Manifesto. Read it, folks. Go ahead, Billy.
I can honestly say I've read the Communist Manifesto. I don't know it like the back of my hand, but the writing's on the wall. Peter McKay is running for the leadership. He's being touted the front runner for the leadership of the Conservative Party. Aaron O'Toole is close behind, but something tells me Peter McKay is going to be the guy. And the reason I say that is there's a guy I know. I met him through an online application called Discord. And it's a guy I know. He's got his own trucking company from New Glasgow area in Nova Scotia. And New Glasgow is a hotbed for Freemasons. And one of the top-ranking Freemasons in New Glasgow over the last 30 or 40 years is a gentleman by the name of Elmer McKay. Elmer McKay, I believe, was an MP under a previous Conservative government back in the, I can't remember, the 70s or 80s. I could look it up, I guess. But, and then his son is Peter McKay. And apparently Peter McKay is also a Freemason. Now, if you go look up Peter McKay's logo when he holds an event, he uses three M's, and he uses the three M's to kind of symbolize the maple leaf, but he uses three M's on either side of the event, on either side, and three M's are shaped like the top part of the maple leaf on our flag. Well, the three M's could also signify masonry, and he's got three on each side, which means 33, and 33 is the highest degree you can get in Freemasonry. Now, I know some people will say, okay, well, you're going off at the conspiracy theories, but at the same time, when do those conspiracy theories become reality? Because Peter MacKay is the same guy that the WikiLeaks dump revealed that Colin Powell had been at Bohemian Grove with Stephen Harper. And Colin Powell is close enough to Peter MacKay that he actually sent him an email to let him know that he had been speaking to Stephen Harper at Bohemian Grove and that everyone in attendance was going to reject the Trump presidency. They didn't accept Trump becoming president. So this would have been the Bohemian Grove just prior to Trump being elected. And you've got Colin Powell sending an email to Peter MacKay, and you fast forward 3 or 4 years, and he's going to be the front runner for the quote unquote Conservative Party of Canada. And I say quote unquote because in the States, they call Republican in name only rhinos. So I guess in Canada, they'd be either sinos or kinos, however you want to pronounce the C, because they're just conservatives in name only. The only conservative political party there is right now is the People's Party of Canada. And I don't say that because I ran for them. I say that because policy wise, it's plain as day. It's clear as a clear blue sky. You know what I mean? That there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And if people don't wake up to that, if people don't stop voting the way grandpa did, our country's in trouble.
Yeah, we are in a lot of trouble, Billy. And right now, the way I see Canada at this moment, it's going to take a monumental effort to stop what's going on. The roots of what's going on are so deep in our society right now. We see the influence of the United Nations, how the door is wide open, how their laws are now becoming laws in Canada, how non-binding agreements become binding agreements. We see their influence all through Canadian society. We hear about, you know, the small guns, United Nations, small arms treaty that's going to be tried to be implemented in Canada. Their international, education programs are going to be implemented by the Canadian government. We see them getting their fingers in every part of our society. I tell you, it's like I said, Billy, it's going to take a mass awakening of Canadians right now at this point to stop what's going on, because these guys are just putting the pedal to the metal. And, you know, people with this much power, it's almost incomprehensible of what they could actually do to bring us to our knees. You know, I mean, the coronavirus right now, that could be a biological weapon. I mean, Trump just launched an investigation into it. And he announced that yesterday that it's going to be an investigation into this as a bioweapon being unleashed on the public. I know you've done a little bit of looking into it. There's lots of different thoughts and opinions on that. What do you think about this virus and where is it going, Billy? And it could be that, could that be the catalyst?
Have you the go-kart?
Go ahead.
Have you seen Frank Vaughn's YouTube videos on the coronavirus?
I've watched every one of them, Billy.
Okay, well, for your listeners, if you haven't watched Frank Vaughn's YouTube videos on what's going on in China, I suggest you do, because it's probably the only source of what's actually happening in China right now. For whatever reason, the CBC is not telling us what's going on. Our politicians aren't telling us what's going on. Frank Vaughn has a contact inside the Canadian Air Force. And apparently he's telling him what the Air Force is doing. And what the Air Force is doing is in stark contrast to what we're doing at airports, for example. So, you know what I mean? So Air Force members are not allowed to even take a connecting flight in China. But yet we're going to go put 200 people on an airplane and bring them to a military base in Ontario. Yeah. And the footage that he's showing, it's showing how people go from 1 minute to another, literally from 1 minute to the next, to no symptoms, to you're laying on the floor in a convulsion because this thing suddenly struck you.
Yeah, it seems to come on very, very quickly. That's the one thing that I've kind of observed too, Billy. That's what I've been hearing, is that when it does come on, it comes on like a gangbuster. These numbers that we're seeing in China and hearing about, you know, we always got to take things with a little bit of a grain of salt, you know, but like you said, none of this is being exposed. According to what Frank is putting out, none of the mainstream media is even coming close to reporting the numbers that Frank is reporting upon right now. Like I said, we've got to kind of, you know, I've watched the videos, but I always kind of got to question sometimes where that information is coming from.
Or that's true, too.
You know, if it's information being fed to us for a reason, you know, I always kind of got to sit on the outside. But if half of this is true, Billy, if half of it is true, then we have a major problem on our hands right now with this virus. And to say that it can't go worldwide, you would really have to have your head in the sand, because it has the potential to do this because of the way it infects people. What I've read about the infection rates, what I've read about the mortality rates, it has the potential to become an epidemic. I'm not saying it's going to be, but it has the potential to be that. And that would be a sure catalyst to get people to live up their freedoms in a very short period of time, wouldn't it, Billy? Like overnight, people would willingly give up their freedoms if they knew that this was a major threat to their lives.
Well, from what I hear in China, the freedoms are being taken away from them. When we hear that they're in quarantine, what that means is that the entire city is under quarantine. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out, which means no provisions get in either. So no food, no toiletries, which means no toilet paper, no, nothing gets in, nothing gets out. People are saying that some of the videos Frank is showing are startling, because it's looking like anyone that's suspected to have been exposed are being rounded up and thrown into the equivalent of concentration camps with no running water and no toilets.
Yeah, I saw the video of that hospital they just built with the bars. And then you're hearing about the crematoriums working around the clock over there. It's so hard to get accurate information out of China. You know that, Billy. But,
You've got
the Frank's report on is pretty scary stuff.
And you've also got, I don't know where I saw this, and I mean, take it with a grain of salt, take it at face value. Some are saying that they manipulated the virus that it can't affect Caucasians. How true that is, I have no idea either, right? And then it makes you wonder if it is, like you say, a bioweapon, because when you do research on the coronavirus, you'll find three or four different patents. And there's one patent associated to the CDC in the States, and it's associated to the Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Imagine that. So, you know, and then you've got that lab in Winnipeg where the two Chinese doctors, the couple, and the husband was actually a specialist on SARS. He wrote papers on the SARS. And the coronavirus apparently is like a mutation of SARS almost. And no one even looked into that one. Everyone said, oh, there's nothing to see there. But it makes you wonder, because they were found guilty of taking the Ebola virus and shipping that out to China. So it's not that far-fetched that they'd ship the coronavirus out there for manipulation as well. That, like I say, Canada right now, if people knew, because everything comes back, it seems like there's a Canadian connection to everything. When you look at who Trump is dealing with internationally, and who's causing the U.S. problems right now, like Iran, for example, and the Ukraine. And you look at the ties that there are. Justin Trudeau was on vacation with John Kerry at the Aga Khan's Island the Christmas right after Trump gets elected. So Trump gets elected in November. In December, you got John Kerry, the Secretary of State of the U.S., and Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, going to the Aga Khan's Island. And then John Kerry, even after he's out of office, is caught trying to run diplomacy with Iran to undermine Trump's reversal of the Iran nuclear deal. And that Iran nuclear deal, you know how cozy Obama and Trudeau were. Well, that those billions of dollars that were sent on pallets of, like just cash sent on pallets, the theory out there is that a lot of these government leaders got kickbacks from that. And it's being investigated. All this stuff that Trump has been accused of is now being investigated. Lindsey Graham went on the record the other day saying that half of the people involved in the FISA and the FISA warrants and that whole investigation, half of them are going to jail. He literally said that out loud on camera. Lindsey Graham did.
Now that's happening. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got Chuck Grassley who got documents from the National Security Council, 2,000 documents on Hunter Biden's involvement in Burisma and how that whole thing went down. So that's going to come down the pipe. And then you've got the Uranium One scandal that's being investigated. And then there's the 9/11 racket. So I'm just wondering how many Canadian politicians are going to get dragged into that, because if you listen to what Tom Quiggin has to say, Tom Quiggin is saying that Qatar is a key player in all this, and that Iran is using Canada and the Ukraine is using Canada as a way to access the United States. It's almost like their operating base in North America. So you look at the problems Trump is having with Ukraine. Well, Chrystia Freeland's mother wrote their laws that allowed those to exist so the corruption could exist. Chrystia Freeland is a big defender of the Ukraine. She was going to write George Soros' autobiography, and half of the non-government organizations that got these kickbacks in the Ukraine were affiliated to George Soros. Literally, yeah. Chrystia Freeland, after she was done with the CBC, she was a journalist, she was selected to be George Soros' autobiographer, but then she got elected and couldn't do it. So,
look at her background, Billy. Look at her father and her forefather. And
right.
Do a little history research on Chrystia Freeland, and your jaw will hit the floor, man. But it won't, because they're all tied in. It's like a big giant party, Billy, and she's definitely in the party. She's got her ticket.
One of my biggest fears, I mean, it's a fear, but at the same time, it might turn out well in the long haul. But one of my fears is that we're going to piss off the U.S. and we're going to end up having freaking boots on the ground war in Canada. We took in the third quarter of 2019, Statistics Canada released this, 200,000 immigrants came into Canada under the various programs that exist.
90-day period.
That's over 2,000 a day.
Yeah, that equates to a million in that, almost a million people in that program alone. And I don't know if they're taking into consideration the student programs or the working programs, the temporary working programs, if they're taking into consideration them or not. But these numbers are unsustainable in this country if we want this country to stay as a country. It's just unbelievable what's going on, Billy.
Well, and where are the sanctuary cities? The sanctuary cities, Toronto and the surrounding areas, yeah, which is right along the Great Lakes, which is
a bridge
away from the U.S. So I'm just wondering how long before Donald Trump says, hey, Trudeau.
Justin, yeah. I got a few problems with you here, buddy. It's about our underprotected border. That is what, 5,000 miles of unprotected border between our countries? I don't like what's going on up there, Justin. Let's have a little sit down face to face. I mean, I would, at this point, Billy, I'd invite him to come in here. Come in, please, and stop this craziness that's going on in our country. If you don't think he's watching what's going on up here, you know, he's dumb like a fox, man. He knows what's going on up here.
Well, a friend of mine sent me what the U.S. calls War Plan Red. I guess they set up for it right after the War of 1812. and they've pretty much got a plan on what goes on in Canada if Canada gets out of hand.
Well, it really is. Our country is really, really getting out of hand, Billy. It really is. I never thought in my lifetime I would see some of the things I see going on in Canada. I wouldn't have been able to fathom that, but in the same multiple, we see the same thing going on around the world right now. We're just trying to catch up with England and France and Germany and Sweden. You look at the problems they're having in those countries, Billy, it's unbelievable. Some of the reports, some of the stuff I've read about Sweden, what the Swedish people are dealing with now. We've seen what happened in England with Brexit. We've seen the election of Boris Johnson. We see these really, really strong conservative movements rising around the planet because people are getting to a breaking point. Europe sees their countries losing all their culture. They see them being invaded, and it's getting to a breaking point. I really believe that that point's going to come soon, Billy. I really do, especially in Europe, because they're about maybe 5 years ahead of where Canada is right now. At the rate we're going, we'll catch up in 5 years.
I'm not sure we have enough actual real conservatives in Canada to do the same thing, though. The problem is everyone we bring in is left-leaning, far-left-leaning, or will vote for the far-left-leaning party because of the fact that they're getting in here.
Well, exactly. You're not going to bite the hand that feeds you, are you?
Exactly. Well, when you look at the last election and you go look at the sanctuary cities and go look at the MPs that won there, well, there's nothing Canadian about it. I'm sorry.
No, and that's where our elections are won and lost, in the corridor. You know,
well, yeah.
Between Niagara Falls and Montreal, man. It was the corridor, and that's where our country future is decided. We don't have any say in what's going on in this country at all. So, of course, you're going to flood those corridors with people that are going to support you. And if you make them sanctuary cities and you're bringing in thousands and thousands and thousands of immigrants, well, they're going to want to congregate close to where all their buddies are that just came in to this great country where they're getting welfare the day they walk into the country and the government's looking after the medical and the dental. And they got six kids and they got four wives and they're all propagating children like crazy. And they're getting $600 a month per child plus their welfare plus everything else. And it's just a gravy train. And the government's just bringing them in by the thousands, Billy. And I have nothing against immigration. But what's going on in this country is driving me insane because this is not what immigration is all about. Immigration is to build a country, not to destroy it, not to bring in many, many different factions into society that will never, ever be
contributors
to Canadian society. They will never accumulate or what's the word I'm looking for? Billy, I'm lost for that word. They'll never assimilate to our society.
Right.
Because they come from completely different societies with a completely different mindset. So what we're doing right now in this country is it's cultural genocide.
Well, did you hear what is that case? I saw a case where a Syrian refugee was charged with assault and it was he pretty much pled guilty, but when it came to sentencing, he got time served, which was, I think, 2 months or so. He got time served and then 2 years probation because the judge says that we knew that when we brought him in, that he had been exposed to things that we couldn't fathom. Therefore, it's the PTSD that made him do it.
So now that's acceptable.
Well,
because they come from a part of the world where they're exposed to that kind of stuff. Well, then we've got a big problem, don't we, Billy?
Right, exactly. It sets a precedence now in the legal system.
Well, of course. So they're all going to use that same defense the next time they're in front of a judge. It's unbelievable. I followed that case, Billy. It's just unbelievable that this stuff is going on.
Okay, so you're familiar with that case, and I'm not just dreaming that then.
No, I know. And it's just an example of, look at the guy that assaulted all those kids in the Edmonton swimming pool. Got off with a slap on the wrist. Same thing with other, we could talk about many, many situations like that already in Canada where they're basically getting off with a slap on the wrist as opposed to what should really be done to them in a criminal court of law. And it's being done by design, Billy. It's everything we see is by design. It's to absolutely destroy this country, and it is happening very quickly, my friend, very quickly, scary quickly. So you might be right, Billy. I ask myself every day, where are all the Canadian men with testicles? And I don't like to use that word, but I don't know how else to describe it. Where are they? Where people are going to stand up and die for this country? Because I'm willing right now to lay my life down to make sure that my children have freedom. And that might sound corny, but I am. I do that in a heartbeat, because I know what I've enjoyed in this country growing up, and I see it being taken away, but I see it being taken away around the world right now. Go ahead.
I guess for me, it's where I live that makes the difference, because it's not affecting us right now, and it probably won't for a very long time, if it ever does, because I figure before it affects a rural area like where I'm at, it's like I'm out in the middle of, well, I'm out really on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. So by the time it gets to me, I think it's either people will wake up and we'll have a new government that's actually conservative, like the People's Party. Either that happens first, or there will be armed revolution in Canada. It's one or the other. And I'm not sure which is going to happen first, but that's what we're looking at, because they're going to take it to us eventually. Eventually, when they start imposing Sharia law and it starts branching out from little municipalities in Ontario to the rest of Canada, I know for a fact that there are places in Atlantic Canada and in Western Canada where it just will not be accepted. They'll resort to bearing arms. People will resort to defending themselves with lethal force.
I agree, Billy. I mean, that's not going to happen in my lifetime when I'm alive. And I think we could all say the same thing. But we see it coming. And
well, you say that, but if they keep going at 200,000 every 3 months,
that's unsustainable, Billy. And What is that? You know, like we said, where are all those people going to go? They're all going to go and congregate in the same areas that all their friends are right now, because that's what these people do.
So what if only 5% of them are radical Islamists who want the destruction of the Western world? Only 5%. So in that 200,000, it'd be 10,000 people. But if you're getting 200,000 every quarter, that's 40,000 every year, combat ready ISIS fighters or terrorists, ready, willing, and able, and wanting to destroy Western civilization. So that's why I say, how long is Trump going to let it happen? Because eventually the numbers are not going to make sense anymore, and the U.S. is going to defend itself.
And you say stuff like that, and people go, well, that can't happen in Canada. But wait a second. Hold on, folks. What if the government was supporting this and making sure that these enclaves are being set up in Canadian society, so when a certain word is given, they'll all know exactly what their role is and what kind of effect that would have on a sleeping population of Canadian sheeple that are more worried about who won the hockey game last night than what's going on in their country. I could see it all being played out, Billy, and boy, I'll tell you, we better get people on board and aware of just exactly what it is we're dealing with. We're dealing with something that has no heart, has no soul. Go ahead.
Yeah, the United Nations.
Exactly. Yeah, them too.
Wow.
That's it. Everything comes back to the United Nations. Go ahead.
Everything stems back to them. I mean, the United Nations, when it was formed, was probably a good thing. But it's our own kindness and our own ability to forgive that's going to screw us in the end, because we forgave and we were too flexible with countries that had horrible human rights records and horrible records as far as treating their citizens, and we allowed them into the United Nations, and now we've allowed them to control the United Nations. A lot of the countries that control the United Nations right now are from the Middle East and Northern or Eastern Africa. These aren't your typical Canadian or American good old boys and good old girls. You know, they don't have the same mentality. It's not the same. And it's like I tell people, I'm not racist, but I'm a realist. And if you grew up in the dark ages, and then all of a sudden you're thrown into modernism, you still have that dark age mentality. That's why you're seeing all these gang rapes and you're seeing all these assaults on school ground in schoolyards, is because that's just the way they were brought up.
Yep, exactly. Like,
you know, so it's not that you want to be mean. It's that, sorry, if you can't come here and assimilate and change your attitude, you have no place here because it's not compatible with Western society. Now, you say that and people call you racist. Well, we're suicidal as a society if we're not able to see the distinction between Western civilization and what's going on in some places in the Middle East or in Eastern Northern Africa and those places. They refuse.
Our country was built on immigration, Billy. But
yeah, exactly.
When you immigrated to Canada in 1931, you knew you were coming to a place where there was nothing there for you, that you were going there to work off the back, your sweat off your back. And if you didn't find a job and get to work, you were going to be having a very, very difficult time. Everybody that came here understood that. They wanted to come here because they saw the benefits of living in this country. And they came here and they found jobs and they were successful. And that's what built the backbone of our society. And now we have a society that is going to be paying millions and hundreds of millions of dollars every year to look after people that will never contribute to Canadian society. So why would a society do that to their country? That is a plan, of course, Billy. We know why. But why would a government allow that to go on when you could be bringing people into your country that would actually benefit the country, that were going to go get a job, that had a skill, weren't going to be on welfare for the rest of their lives? A lot of these people will never get the job, Billy, because they don't have to. Not right, my friend.
Well, it makes me wonder if the corruption is that deep that it's just kickbacks amongst the world's leaders and their families and their relatives and their buddies, Because when you look at it, man, there are a lot of connections when you go deep enough towards the top and you look at the connections that there are. Like, apparently the Clintons are related to the Obamas. The Trudeaus through the Sinclairs are apparently related to the Clintons. Like, I haven't had time to dig into it, but it seems like it's just one big club and we're not in it. And the problem is we are the majority. And I like it when you mention the pro sports, because I grew up a sports fanatic. Like, I knew the stats. I knew hockey, baseball. I had those two covered. Like, they were my skin. And as I grew older, I realized that by being so, I don't know what the right word is. And I don't know if just so into sports that I missed out on the political aspect, what was going on right under my nose politically. And then by the time you get old enough to realize it, like, I know during the World Junior Hockey Championships, Christmas time, everyone's schedule revolved around those World Junior games. I made a comment on it, and man, I got attacked. They're like, how dare you attack hockey in Canada? What kind of Canadian are you? It's like, I get it, but the world's passing us by, folks, and Trudeau's all over the world. He's at that point, where was he at? He was on his vacation there down in Costa Rica. And there was something going on at the time. Oh, that's when the flight was, Soleimani got shot down and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I was kind of commenting on that, you know. Where is our prime minister?
17 days in Costa Rica.
Right. On a drunken rip.
He's a disgrace, Billy. We know that. It's unbelievable that this guy is still the prime minister of this country. How that happened in that election, I don't know. Is Canada to the point now where we can't pull it out, that it's gone to that point? Because anybody that looked at what Trudeau has done in the last 4 years and then reelected this guy, I don't know what to say to them. I just don't know what to say to that, Billy. So really, what happened? Are Canadians that complacent that we can't get off our butts and go out and go to a polling station? Because every one of these immigrants that have come into this country in the last 4 or 5 years, and the ones that are going to be bringing in the next couple of years, every one of them will exercise this right to go vote in a country that just brought them in. Period. And if we don't get on it, we're going to lose it in America, unless Canadians really get involved. The PPC is the only party in Canada right now, Billy, that is making any sense to me. He's the only one that made any sense in the last election. I know that, you know, he wasn't given a fair shake, that it's a new party, but I can see people really embracing that, especially as things get worse and worse in this country economically in the next couple of years, Billy, because they're gonna.
Well, he's suing Kinsella right now. He's suing Warren Kinsella for defamation of character.
Yeah, I heard that.
If he could win that, that'd be big. And the problem we have right now is we've got no one in Parliament. You know, Maxim's not there to debate. Maxim's not there to put the PPC point across there. We're not as organized as we should be yet on the ground either. Like, I've been waiting for a phone call from Maxim since October. I won't make up things in my head either, right? You know, like, he could have called everyone by now. There's no reason why he couldn't have called everyone by now and you know, made plans for the future. So we'll see what happens there. But I know getting involved in political politics set me back financially. It was hard on the family. It was hard on the kids. So I'm not sure if I'd do it again. It would have to be – there. Something would have to happen to expose the Liberals and the Conservatives for the globalist cons that they are.
Well,
that's the only way.
If we don't get this stopped here real soon, Billy, I don't know if we'll make another 10 years in Canada before we completely lose the country.
Right. And that's what I was getting at earlier when I was saying it's going to be either a revolution or people are going to have to wake up politically. Cause if something's not done politically in the next 10 years, including getting out of the whole Commonwealth Queen, you know what I mean? Like, I said that last election, if I would have won, I would have been pledging allegiance to the Queen under duress. I would have refused to pledge allegiance, and then what would have happened there is they would have told me I wouldn't be able to serve as a member of Parliament if I didn't. And then I would have pledged allegiance to the Queen under duress. And then I would have probably put forward a motion during my first term saying that we should look at getting out of the whole Commonwealth, pledging allegiance to the Queen completely and creating a republic and actually – because I'm not sure right now. I'm starting to believe the myth is Canada might be onto something as far as we don't really have a government, and that's why our politicians can get away with what the frig they get away with.
There's a lot to it, Billy. There really is. And I'm paying more and more attention to it because it seems like, you know, if we don't do something radical in the near future, we might lose the country. And
they run it like a corporation. They literally run it like a corporation. Look what they're doing to the rebel media.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to talk about him.
Well, you're talking communist China shit there. Pardon my language, but pulling in someone because they wrote a book during the election that painted Justin Trudeau in a bad light. I'm sorry, but we live in Canada. You're allowed to write freaking books, and you're allowed to make lawn signs to promote your book if you'd like as well, even though they look like an election sign. You know what I mean? That's all he did. He put out signs. That's what they were pissed off of them for, because they were calling it election advertising that wasn't approved by Elections Canada. And it's the signs that he put out. Because on the signs, he had signs saying the Libranos, which is the name of the book. And it's a picture of Justin Trudeau and Gerald Butts and a bunch of others on the sign. And then it says, buy your book today. But it looked like an election sign saying the Libranos. So he got in trouble for that, but technically he did nothing wrong and it's not illegal. He's allowed to promote his fucking book.
He, as soon as he put that video up about his interview with those two RCMP dudes, his book went from number two to number one bestseller in 2 days.
Nice.
So he put out a follow-up video saying thanks to the two investigators because I wanted my book to go number one. And as soon as I did that interview with you guys, I recorded that you didn't realize that I was recording. I am now at number one. And so it should be because like them or love them or hate them, the rebel media is the only media in Canada right now, Billy, that's putting out information for Canadians. And, you know, there's lots of people that have a beef with them. I understand that. There's always something about somebody that might get underneath your hair, but you've got to listen to what this organization is putting out for news. I listen to them all the time, and I get really good information from them that I'm never going to see on CBC or any mainstream outlet. So we've got to make sure that they're protected because they're like kind of the last beacon of free speech in Canada is Rebel News.
And if they're certainly the only media outlet with the means to do what they're doing. They're big enough that they can actually afford to send out people to cover stories in the big cities. And we don't have that. We got lots of independent YouTubers, but no one that's nearly as big as they are. And
well, they're also getting big time support now from certain viewers, people with money are actually supporting the station that believe in Canada. That's a fact because they're spending a lot of money and they don't spend the money they get. They're spending with $2 and $5 donations. So
Barry,
if I had tons of money, I'd donate too. Go ahead, Steve.
No F bombs, please.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I dropped an F bomb. Oh, I said frig earlier.
I'm sorry, Billy.
Frig earlier.
Yeah, we try not to swear on the station, but
I apologize.
Okay, well, we'll send you the corner this time. We'll just make sure it don't happen again. I know sometimes they slip out, and sometimes we get
blame so... it on my. I blame it on my father.
Okay, well, we'll let that go this time. But next time they'll kick you off the station, and I'll be in the doghouse for a month.
Yeah, our conversation. You know,
it is what it is, folks. Sorry about that. Anyways,
it's all good. Our conversation flows so well sometimes I forget we're actually on air.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes we get so peed off about situations that they just slip out. I have to guard my mouth a lot because once in a while I've had almost one slip out of my mouth during the course of conversations. But, you know, sometimes, like you said, we get to a point where we're just banging our heads against the wall, wondering what we're going to do next.
Well, it's our country, right? And we're seeing what's happening. And I love talking to you because we're on opposite coasts. You know what I mean? And everything in between is we're proud of everything in between. And, you know, we talk to each other very candidly and we see what's happening from one end of the country to the other. And all we want to do is wake people up to it. And sometimes when you're trying to do that, you're going to say things that are going to offend. You're going to say things that are going to make people question everything they consider sacred, because it's the only way to wake up to what's actually going on is to realize that the majority of what we've been fed our entire lives is a construct. It's a narrative, and it's a narrative that's controlled by very rich, very narcissistic, very dark people, in my opinion.
Very and evil people.
Right. And if people don't start realizing that, just how bad that is, well, then I'm not sure they'll ever wake up to what's going on, because I've heard recently that Canada might be the place where adrenochrome was first discovered and produced. Mm. You know, well, and then that's scary.
That is scary. You talked earlier in the show for a few minutes about the Bohemian Grove, and you know, a lot of people still, even today, Billy, don't really know what the Bohemian Grove is and what goes on at the celebration of care and the celebrations that they partake of at the Bohemian Grove and what these people do and the people that are on the list of visitors. It's when I first started looking into it, it absolutely blew my mind what was going on there and who the attendees were. But when you look at the big picture of what's going on around the world right now, it makes perfect sense that we're dealing with people that are from, in my opinion, the pits of hell. Because there's no other way I can describe some of the things that go on in our society now that, you know, when you start going down that rabbit hole and you really start looking into it, it's beyond what most of us can even begin to comprehend. But well, this stuff is going on, and it's real.
I did a YouTube video probably a month ago, and it was on Satanism in Canada. And I went through – it's because it's funny you talk about Bohemian Grove – in the Bible, it talks about, in the Old Testament, it talks about how the pagans used to offer their children as an offering, literally a fire, like burn their children alive to the false god Molech or Moloch, mm-hmm. depending on different translations. Now, this cremation of care, this ceremony that goes on at Bohemian Grove, they claim that it's the effigy of a baby. Now, for those who don't know what effigy is, doll might be a synonym for effigy, or I don't know, like a dummy, like a doll or dummy. So what looks like a child, and they float this child down the river on a raft. And you're talking about politicians and people of influence, only men, and they're dressed in black or red or white druids outfits with the black hoods, kind of like the KKK, but black. And they're carrying torches, and they float this effigy of a baby down the river, and they stop it in front of a giant owl. And the owl is named Molech. And in front of the owl, there's a stone altar, and they put the baby on the altar, and then they light a big fire and they chant things and I'm not sure what language they chant in, but it seems like it's a language I don't understand. And it's like incantations that you'd hear almost at mass. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of, you know, like you go to a mass sometimes, you get spooked out because they're chanting things. Well, that's kind of what goes on here. And it makes you wonder, you know, like what the hell, what's Colin Powell and Stephen Harper doing at this Bohemian Grove? What it is, it's a place in the woods in California. And it's top secret. And to get in, you got to be on a list. You got to be invited in. And Alex Jones blew it open a while ago. He infiltrated it and videotaped what was going on in there. And then since then, it's pretty much been common knowledge. But of course, they downplay everything that goes on inside the Grove. So Peter McKay is aware of it, obviously, because he got an email from Colin Powell, kind of like I talked to you about going to Tim Hortons. Yeah, I was at the Grove this weekend with Stephen Harper.
A meeting of the good old boys.
Yeah, we were at the Grove with Stephen Harper, and we're not going to support Trump.
Well, the bathhouses and everything else that Jones reported on, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen those videos. It's almost something like that you'd see created out of Hollywood, you know. When I first looked into it, it really kind of – it surprised me, but it doesn't really surprise me, Billy, because some of the things that – our elites partake in the child sacrifices, what's actually going on in really dark circles on places like Epstein Island and all these other things that we touch the surface on. It's just really, it's hard for us to even begin to comprehend what's going on. It really is, because we consider ourselves to be normal people. We got a heart and a soul. We love our children. We want good things for people. We want to see people suffer, and they're at the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Go ahead.
Well, it calls into question their humanity. It calls into question, you wonder sometimes, you know, you look at multi-generational elite, you know, the Bush dynasty, you know, they all grew up in politics and the father was a skull and bones. And actually, I think one of the father was a Nazi. Mm-hmm. And they moved here.
Prescott,
exactly. And then George H.W. Bush, he was a member of Skull and Bones. And then George W. Bush was a member of Skull and Bones. John Kerry was also a member of Skull and Bones, and the Skull and Bones have affiliation to the Freemasons. And then people that go to this Bohemian Grove are often Skull and Bones members and or Freemasons. And Peter McKay is a Freemason, getting emails from Colin Powell. Like I said, well, we were at Tim Hortons the other day having coffee. No, we were at the Grove floating effigies of babies and lighting them on fire. Pete, yeah, you missed a good time. You know, it's just, it's bizarro world. And what other conclusion can you come to than it's rooted in a spiritual evil? It's got to be, because you can't explain it any other way.
Well, you know, Billy, I'm a Christian, and my Bible tells me at this particular time in history, the devil is going to run wild. And, buddy, that's exactly what I see going on this planet right now. However you want to describe it, evil is manifesting itself in ways that I can't even begin. When we have drag queens giving story times in public libraries to 5- and 6-year-old children, when we see things going on in our society that we do now, with the propagation of pedophilia being a normal function in human beings, that's coming next. Where is it going to stop, Billy? Where is the destruction of our moral society going to come to an end? Because if it doesn't come to an end, eventually our society will, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe, fall apart.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. It's interesting that you mentioned Drag Queen Story Hour. Last weekend, I've told you about my Acadian ancestry, you know, that I grew up, Acadians came here in the early 1600s. My family managed to survive the deportation. We maintained our French language, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in Nova Scotia, we built a movement, to get rights to actually go to school in French and have social activities in French and have infrastructure run by Acadians. And one of the groups that were formed over the last 50 years or so was called the Nova Scotia Acadian Youth Council. Well, this group changed their mandate a few years ago. When I was going to it, it was 12 to 17 year olds that would go away. You'd go on different workshops, cultural workshops, music workshops, leadership workshops, etc. Spend the whole weekend speaking French, etc., etc. Now they've changed it where it's 12 to 25 year olds. And this year, their theme was Adulting 101. And what they had, one of the seminars that they had, was three drag queens that came and lip syncs It's Raining Men while rubbing themselves. And this was done in front of 12-year-old kids. And I put up a stink, because our local school here promoted all over their Facebook page, and I put a stink up. And of course I got backlash for it, but I wasn't backing down. I mean, at one time you needed a government ID and you had to go to a casino or a bar to see a drag show. Now they're putting it in libraries and they're exposing 12-year-olds to it at youth gatherings that are meant to be cultural experiences. So how far gone are we? And I'm the bad guy. Oh. And I'm the bad guy for saying that there's no place for it.
It's when we see a 11-year-old drag queen child being glamorized in mainstream media outlets, with that child being allowed to pose with a full-grown adult male transvestite naked with the exception of a cloth over his genitals, then you know we're really getting close to the bottom as far as the society goes. That our society was founded, whether you like it or not, on Judeo-Christian values. It's what made our society strong. It's what made our grandfathers and our forefathers to my grandfather strong individuals that fought for something that was worth fighting for. And now we see it being taken away, Billy, and it's going at light speed. And if people don't wake up, like I said, the future does not look bright right now. But we know that we can beat this. It's just really going to get people involved. And I don't know how else to do it but to sit here and discuss it and open our hearts up and tell people that we're scared, and I am scared right now for the future of this country. Go ahead.
But it's interesting you mentioned the whole thing about dressed in cloth in front of kids. I did a video on that not that long ago about some of the gay pride stuff that you see. And I asked someone, I was like, I wonder how people would react if I dressed my wife in a latex outfit from head to toe with her bum cheek showing and a mask of a dog on her face with a plastic ball in her mouth and lead her down the road with a chain around her neck like a leash on all fours. How would people react to that if I did that? Well, people would lose their minds, and rightfully so. But if it happens in a gay pride parade on Main Street, it's applauded as inclusivity. And
but who's at the front of the parade? Justin, he's our man.
The Prime Minister.
And all his little cronies are right there, man. What a bunch. I don't even want to go there, but it's just disgusts me what's going on. I say a lot of times, boy, if my grandfather, if we could go back to my grandfather's age right now, and a few of them saw this going on, there would be war in this country.
Oh, yeah.
There would be a war. Absolutely full-blown war. They'd be marching down the street with guns looking for the producers at the radio networks, and there would be murder, and there would be mayhem. And it wouldn't just be one or two of them. It'd be the whole country, because that's where we were 50 or 60 years ago. And look where we are now.
Unbelievable. Well, I laugh because my mother gave me a hard time for speaking out against the drag queen show. And I reminded her that growing up, there was one guy that lived really close to where I live who used to dress up as a girl. He'd wear the dress and the high heel shoes, and he'd put lipstick on once in a while. And my parents told us, you see him, you run as quickly as you possibly can in the opposite direction. Do not talk. Do not say hi. Do not pass go. Do not associate. And I reminded her of that, and she's like, you're right. She's like, so why do I feel this way now? I was like, I don't know, but that's for you to figure out.
Well, the same thing when I was growing up, Billy. It's a completely different world. And we've seen these changes come in the last 30, 40, 50 years where society has been turned upside down. What was good is now evil, and what was evil is now good. And if it keeps going this way, history will repeat itself and our society will collapse. It's only a matter of time.
Well, the Bible spoke about that in the end days, how people would think that they're wise, but they became fools and took the glory of God and gave it over to creepy crawly things.
Men would become lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
And we see that so much manifesting itself in our society. We see all kinds of things that kind of point us towards a possible real catastrophic shakeup in the world. But I believe that time is coming very soon, that things are going to change, and prepare yourself accordingly. That's all I can say. Hey, you know what? We're down to the last 5 minutes, Billy. What else did you want to talk about today? Anything on your mind? We got about 5 minutes left, so maybe you can tell people where they can find you and where they can follow you, because I know I listen to your podcast and I really enjoy your input. So why don't you share that with people?
Well, on YouTube, it's pretty simple. They can just go www.youtube.com/C/Billy Joyce, and that'll get you to my channel. And then on Twitter, Billy Joyce, B(1976), the year of my birth. So Billy Joyce, 1976. And on Facebook, you can just follow me on Facebook by looking for me. You'll find it. It's the one with all the controversial posts. And as far as one last thing to talk about, I guess it would be that Pizzagate is back in the news. Did you hear about this this thing of Stephen Salamack?
Yeah, I was just following that story, Billy, and we don't have time to get into it, but Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to come out in the next little while. I think are going to make people scratch their head.
Well, in a nutshell, New Jersey corrections officer charged with receipt of child pornography, and in his indictment, he himself admits that the word cheese pizza was a reference to child porn.
Yep. And all these symbolisms and everything else that we've heard about might just come to light. I think a lot of things are going to change here in the next little while, Biggs. Interesting times. It really is.
Indeed. Thanks for having me, Barry. It was a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, Billy. And we're going to take a break, folks, for 3 minutes. And I'll be back with Ron Stevens. We're going to dwell a little bit into the United Nations and some of the shenanigans and skullduggery going on over there. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Thanks again, Billy, for joining me today, buddy.
Okay, Barry. Thanks, buddy.
Welcome back to second hour again. Thanks to Billy Joyce for joining in. Always enjoy talking with the man. Always got some great things to share with us. I'm joined by a person that I know my audience likes hearing. So, of course, I got him on the phone. Seeing as Ronnie, I call him Rotten Ronnie, but we'll call him Ron. His real name is Ron Stevens from Rock the Boat Radio. Thanks for coming in, Ron. Always a pleasure to have you in, buddy.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we've been talking. Well, we talked yesterday for a bit, and we'll talk again today, and there's some pretty crazy stuff going on in our country as far as the United Nations go, and I know there's a few things you wanted to talk about. What's on your mind there, Ron?
Well, one thing that's on my mind, I'm able to get that off my mind before we get going into the Minister of Middle Class Prosperity. I'm really disappointed in the right. I'm extremely disappointed in the right because what the right doesn't understand is because, you know, the right-left, the two-party system, and modern democracy was born out of the French Revolution, which is the same guys that took over Russia. And it was designed as a divide and conquer tactic. And so the right's always fighting against the left. There's an old saying, you know, a divided nation can't stand for long. That was the whole point of it. But I'm really disappointed in the right because it's as controlled as the left. And I had a guy yesterday throw some stuff up about the carbon tax on my Facebook, and I wrote a little bit, and then he jumped all over me. And we had this typed conversation, then he sent me a video of a ex-RCMP officer who's, you know, telling everybody what's going on. Well, he's RCMP. He took an oath to the Queen, okay? No different than the guy that's running Wexit. No different than what's that other ex-RCMP, the Quiggin Report. This is all controlled opposition. And you know, they look at the left gravitating towards, you know, the earth and the environment and climate change and all that stuff and bitch and complaining about it and bitch and complain about Trudeau all the time. But they don't understand that they are also controlled opposition. And people join on to these things. So he had me tagged with a whole bunch of people yesterday. Duke Willis was in there and all these people. And I've checked all these people out before and they're all tagged to Israel, all of them, and to Rebel Media, which is another piece of the controlled opposition, and, you know, Trudeau. They like Rebel Media, but they don't like Trudeau, and but they like Harper, which is ridiculous. Same game, different color, exact same game. And the right is completely led astray by the controlled opposition. Now, I outed Ezra Levant, I think on my show last week or week before, but Trudeau just, I'm just trying to find this thing here, Trudeau just hired and put a guy Shit, where is that?
Bunch of language. Anyways. Stephen Gilbert? Stephen Gilbert?
Whatever his name was. Gilbert. And he was the chair of the CIC, which is the Canadian Israeli Congress, whatever the hell it was. And when you go down to look at who's on the committee, we have Barbara Frum's daughter, and you don't know Barbara Frum from the news, who's a Jew, and her daughter is in the committee, and she's also a member of the Trilateral Commission. And who else is in this committee as an event? I mean, it's all controlled opposition. And it's really unfortunate that those on the right are no smarter than those on the left. And the people on the right have got to come to terms with this. You're being suckered. Okay? You're being led astray. And all these people that are out here with the, you know, the separation movements, the yellow vest is a complete fraud, which came straight out of the United Nations. You know, all of this stuff is controlled opposition. Doesn't matter if it was Occupy or Idle No More or Black Lives Matter or the yellow vest. All of this stuff is controlled opposition, and people just get drawn to it because they don't think. They don't do any research. They just follow along. And they look at the left and go, well, look at these losers. Well, I hate to break it to you folks on the right. You ain't no brighter than the people on the left. And if we're going to save this nation, you better brighten up. Simple as that. So we went through all of this stuff, and then the guy called me a troll, which really made me laugh. And so I went and looked at his likes on his Facebook, and there's Levant and Israel and all the rest of this nonsense. And so I just wrote him a little note. Maybe it's time you go suck a J. And I wasn't talking about a joint. And so he realized he's caught. So, as they normally do, they just erase everything, right? Take it down and disappear. Because, a lot of the people that are hooked up to all these other outfits are hooked up to me. They wonder why I won't hook up to these other people. Well, because I know what they're up to. So, they come at me every now and again trying to, out me or whatever, so that the people that are following me and them, they're trying to move me. But, it's really sad. It's really, really sad. The fact of the matter is it's all controlled, both sides. And we better come to terms with that, ASAP, and start working and doing what we're supposed to be doing in order to take our nation back. I sent you a news article. I don't know if you read it or not, but they've been coming at me here for 10 years now. And been arresting me and police coming all the time and whatnot and being dragged through courts. I've never been found guilty of anything. It's always been dismissed. But they're just trying to hammer you into the ground. And so my sister's running a cat rescue thing, had been for years. So I guess they figured they can't shut me down. So they'll go after her. And I was talking to a counselor yesterday that went and, stood for her. And then they went after him. And he agreed with me that by the time we're done, that every single municipality in this country is actually a criminal organization.
Well, they're just an extension of the government. That's all they are.
Well, the whole thing. Today. Yeah. Well, the whole thing is
mandated
is,
and everything. Beyond
well, the problem is nobody looks at the local council, and the local council, the old global local thing. They're implementing the global agendas into the local neighborhoods. and people don't have a clue what's going on. And we have to solve that problem. The only place it can be solved is at the local level. And people have to grow up and quit acting like children and become adults, because the whole public school system was about indoctrinating you and keeping you in a childlike mindset. So you don't do what an adult would do. You do what a child does. You whine, you bitch, you complain, you put up memes, yadda, 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 and protest and sign petitions, which is all a complete and total waste of time, which makes those that have the boot of tyranny on the back of your neck laugh their asses off at you. So we have to become adults.
We always have different opinions on certain things, Ron, and I like listening to some of the things you say, and some of the things you say I don't agree with, but that's what makes life
well. That's fine. That's fine.
That's what we're here for.
I got asked if I would be the spokesman for the striking teachers here, which really made me giggle because they were marching up and down the street in town here. So I pulled over and had a chat with some of them. And I actually told them they were stuck in the childlike mindset, because that's what children do. They whine and complain, which is no different than holding a sign and walking up and down the street protesting. It's still childlike. It's not adult-like. And I explained to them that they came through the same indoctrination system. And I wasn't trying to rattle their cage around. I was just explaining stuff to them. And you, the teacher, having come through the same system, you will teach whatever's put in front of you, because you were taught not to question authority or challenge authority. And whatever they put in front of your face, you'll teach. And then I noticed one of the teacher's eyes got really bright. And he goes, "We need you to be our spokesperson." No, you don't. You need to become adults. Okay? And deal with the problem. It's the biggest problem we have in this country. And we got to get over that. Now, I want to go, if I could, real quick to this story that I ran into before I did my show today, but I had guests on, so I couldn't talk about it. And this is mind boggling because what it does is it absolutely, shows you what's cooking. And, this is scary stuff because we're getting closer to what they want. Now, what's his name? Bill Monroe or whatever his name is, who's the finance minister?
Yep, Bill Monroe.
Yeah, okay. So, he's a Bilderberger.
Yep.
And so this woman is part of his finance committee. So they made a new minister. What's her name? Mona Forche is now the minister of middle class prosperity. Now that all has to do with them controlling. This has to do with the basic income. Okay. Is exactly what it has to do with. Because they are going to decide what we require and put it in there. So the idea really is to get rid of the GNP and move to a different system. The happiness quotient, which is straight out of the UN. But what really, Minister of Middle Class Prosperity, Mona, has been asked to look at the so-called quality of life measurements. Those measurements are supposed to translate into the government's decision-making and budgeting. It's something other countries are already doing. Last year, New Zealand unveiled its well-being budget with billions of dollars for some of the country's most vulnerable. But what exactly does it mean? happiness, well, let's see, it says here, CBC, happiness and well-being columnist, Jennifer Moss. Okay, so this is a CBC actually has a happiness and well-being columnist, but she's also sitting on the UN Global Council for Happiness. So the media...
You can't make this stuff up.
Well, no, can't make it up. I mean, I don't know if you've ever run into the happiness quotient from the UN before, but it's there. Read that years ago.
I wasn't aware of that one, Ron.
So, yeah, they're marching us down the road. And it's down in here somewhere. It says something about, the global happiness council has started to modify, development about 20 years ago. And since 2012, they've created the happiness index and they mapped it over the Gallup World Poll. And the thing with the Gallup World Poll is it tracks and continually surveys citizens in 160 countries. It actually measures 98% of the global population, and it looks at stuff the GDP is looking at too. So you merge those two things, and then what happens is that you could analyze how clean drinking water can both be socially beneficial as well as financially beneficial. Mm-hmm. And this is fascism. It's the merging of socialism and business. And I think it was Mussolini that said that. Which is exactly what Rockefeller said. Something has to take the place of government. Business seems the obvious entity to do it. So we have the World Economic Forum, which has signed an agreement in June of last year with the United Nations to push forward the sustainability goals. And the World Economic Forum has $7 trillion, of which they're going to use to buy up our utilities, our water, and our electricity and everything else. And then you have to go back to the United Nations Universal Human Rights, which says everyone has the right to adequate housing, food, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of this has based on the housing, okay, because we have more and more people who can't afford to have a roof over their head in this country, and they relate to that somewhere in here, but it's about adequate. Okay, everyone has the right to adequate water, energy, housing, food. But then the question has to be, who decides what is adequate?
Yeah,
they do.
That's a broad word,
right? So they are in complete control now of how much water you're allowed, how much energy you're allowed, how much food you're allowed, what size and type of dwelling you live in. And this is, they're pushing it now. And the funny part is that book, Cloak of Green, which was actually written by a Jew. I didn't know she was a Jew, Elaine Dewar. She did that book leading up to Rio in 92, and she didn't plan on doing a book. She was just asked to go and write a story about this meeting with Elizabeth May, David Suzuki, and this guy from the Amazon. Now, this is the difference between people who can actually think and people who don't think. And I've met lots of reporters at meetings where I asked them, you know, do you know what's going on here? No, I was just told to come and write a story. But you don't have a clue what's going on. No. And that's the difference. Now, Elaine Dewar, when she went to that meeting and saw Suzuki and Elizabeth May, who is also one of the people on the Committee for the Earth Charter, with Morris Strong and Gorbachev in them, and Suzuki's daughter was on that committee. You know, she sees this guy from the Amazon wearing a Rolex watch, and she's going, what the hell's going on here? She could have just wrote the story, but something's got some questions, because if you don't know how to question, if you don't question, you don't know anything, because a question leads you to go find an answer. If you don't ask the question, you ain't going to go look for the answer. So that turned into a 4-year investigative report where she spent time with Morris Strong and all the rest of these clowns. And, but the interesting part was she also mentioned the World Economic Forum in there. And at that time in, they had apparently $3 trillion to put forward. And now apparently they got, $7 trillion to put forward. So it is a combination of socialism and capitalism, business and government merging together, and they control everything. And we can't allow that to continue. Now, I went and looked at what's her name here? The Honorable Mona Fortier, Minister of Middle Class Prosperity and Associate Minister of Finance, sitting beside the Honorable Bill Morneau. And if I back up one spot here, I better do this other thing first before I back up, I might lose it. So this is the Department of Finance Canada. Now, as you go down the list here, services, information, federal budget, tax policy, all that kind of crap. Then we have corporate information. Then we got partners. Now, who are we partnered with here? Because this is supposed to be an independent country. We've got the International Trade Tribunal, the Canadian Securities Regulation, Financial Consumer Agency, Bank of Canada. These are the Crown Corporations, Canadian Mint Investment Board, Crown Corporations, Canada Mortgage and Housing. Now, Canada Mortgage and Housing, because in 76 at the first Habitat meeting after 72, the Stockholm Human Environment Meeting, same people in Vancouver, in the preamble, what's not sustainable? Private property. Now, I was at a meeting here in town. I just dropped into it. I didn't even know what it was, and got down, and I was sitting watching this, and the lady sitting beside me was from Canadian Mortgage and Housing. And I told her this is just Agenda 21. And she said, oh, I don't think so, do you? And she gave me all the paperwork, and was going to, you know, I could get $100,000, because I was a builder at the time. I could get $100,000 interest free if I would get in on the game. And, you know, we had a pretty interesting talk, and she gave me all the paperwork and that. So I, instead of being broke now, I could be quite wealthy, but I ain't selling my soul. So, but when I got home, I looked up Canadian Mortgage and Housing. I was rooting around about it at the time. And, you know, cause she says, I don't think it's Agenda 21. Well, on the CMHC document that I found, what's on there? Agenda 21. And so we have other organizations. We have the Green Municipal Fund and partners. We have a partner from each province. Then we have international groups, Asia Pacific Economic Forum. We have the Group of 20. Now, the Group of 20, which is the G20, was partnered by Paul Martin. He was one of the creators of it. And in 2010, at the G20, the conservative, not the liberal, stood at the podium and said this is a loss of national sovereignty. Some people don't like it, but it's a simple reality, with a smirk on his face. And we also have the Group of Seven, which Harper signed an agreement with the Group of Seven that all fossil fuel use in Canada would end. And then we have these other organizations, the Asia Infrastructure, European Bank of Reconstruction, Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, the Paris Club, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the World Trade Organization. These are all part and parcel of the World Economic Forum, which signed the agreement with the United Nations,
right,
to push through. And this is all the largest multinational companies on the planet just sitting there, right, waiting to dig their claws deeper into us. So, you know, it really makes me ill when I see people bitching about Trudeau. He doesn't matter, okay? He doesn't matter in the least. And people spending all of this energy bitching and complaining when it doesn't matter. They're just wasting the time. And it's really sad that because that's still the childlike mindset. You know, you don't see the mindset that we're being taken down. You don't see people standing up and saying, we got to do something about this. Okay? You have this idiot out in Alberta, ex-RCMP, that wants to become the 51st state of the United States. Well, the 51st state of the United States is just, again, part of the building of the world government, because they can't have a world government as long as nation states exist. And the idea is to turn the major cities into city states. All the money from the World Economic Forum boys is going in to these cities to build rapid rail, to take over the water, to take over the energy,
build the
to build your adequate housing and such and such and such and such. And they're going to starve out all of the rural places because they want everybody under their control. So the money's going into the major cities. The money's going to be withdrawn from the rural areas. And the services in the rural areas are going to continually go down until the people end up moving into the cities.
Yeah, we see that going on across the country right now, Ron.
Exactly, exactly. Why are people wasting their time bellyaching about this idiot? And all of our leaders have been idiots.
If you're going to complain about Trudeau, Ron, it's not Trudeau. Trudeau is just a talking head. It's the whole government.
Well, if you're talking NDP
or conservatives or liberals or green, they're all on board with the exact same agenda. Even though they're speaking out of different sides of their mouths, they're all on board with the exact same.
Well, yeah, because that's what controlled opposition is. Controlled opposition is that you speak to different groups who have different mindsets, and you bring them all inside, but you're still controlling the overall message. And like when I was talking to the counselor yesterday and explained to him that these are just criminal organizations because everything they're doing is harming the people of this nation, and they're doing it without the knowledge or consent of the people. And that makes them a criminal organization. So, but I also told him that, you know, and he understood it. You know, I said the councils or the governments, whatever level of government you want to look at, doesn't really matter. All they are is the window dressing. Okay? They're just doing what they're told. All of this is going on behind the people, the chess pieces.
I mean, governments have no power in their countries right now.
No.
Everything is being dictated to them. Well, no, I know. And if people think that voting is going to change anything, you're nuts. Go ahead.
Well, that's not quite true. Voting at the provincial and federal level is never going to change anything. If you get one of your people to run at the provincial or the federal level and say they do miraculously somehow get elected, what are they going to do? Nothing. They can't. And, you know, they can vote against, but that ain't going to change anything. The only place that you can make the required change is at the local level. And as I told Monica today, Schaefer, when we were talking, you know, that if we don't go and get control of our house, which is where you live, which is your municipality, if we don't get control of that, you're going to see it full of migrants and immigrants. And they will just continue to push the agendas. So if we can't do that simple thing and take back our house, where if you have 7 counselors, you only need 4 people in there to have majority vote on everything. So the CAOs, the clerks, and the administration, they're the ones that set the agendas for the council. Well, if you have majority vote, you can now shut down the global implementation in your local neighborhood. And if we don't do that, then it's our fault. Simple as that. We're the ones to blame. It's not the globalists. It's not the politicians. It's our fault, because that is the Achilles heel. If you have a town like your town, which is about 20,000 people, and you got a council of 7, and you run 21, your odds on getting majority vote is extremely high. The other point in the matter is that people are starting to ask questions, which is really, really good. They get led astray all over the place because they don't do any research. They just, that sounds good. I'll follow that, which is childlike. Because as my grade 7 teacher said in the 60s, believe nothing you read, see, or hear until you personally verify it. Failure to do that opens your mind to accepting all manner of propaganda, right lies is truth. In other words, you can be led by the nose so easy, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree.
And that's what most of my Facebook, they're nice people, but they're just confused and lost and don't have a clue. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, if you, now that people are, I mean, everybody's being negatively affected now. 10 years ago, it was easy for people to look the other direction. They just look away from the trouble because it's not personally affecting them. Well, now we're getting to the point where everybody's being negatively affected. That is the opportunity to get out and have discussions with people, long before there's an election. Get the 21 people, or the 15 if you've got 5 counselors. With that many people running, you see, if you, one person goes out and runs and says global warming is a scam and this is what they're doing to us and yada, 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 well, you're going to get labeled as a nutcase. If you have 15 or 21 people out knocking doors, speaking the truth with the information to back it up, you have the opportunity to change the narrative. Okay, so that makes your opportunity to take control of your local council extraordinarily high. And if we don't get control of our house, and that's exactly why our forefathers came here. They didn't come for a holiday. They came here to get out from under the boot of tyranny and build us a new house.
Now the boot's on their back almost again.
And now we, through the offer of benefits, they always sucker you with the offer of benefits.
Comforts.
Yeah. This is what we'll do for you. Well, the government's going to do this for us. Well, the government ain't got no money. Okay, so the government's giving you these benefits that coming out of your pocket. So they're not giving you anything. They're just deceiving you. And so, but you know, after our forefathers died off and a few generations after them died off, because they got here like a good 200 years before there was such a thing as Canada, and they came to build that house. And we got suckered again through these offer of benefits. And now the boot of tyranny, like you said, is right back on the back of our neck. Well, there's no new land to go to. There's nowhere to go to start a new house. And we have an obligation to our forefathers and those who come after us to take back control of our house. You're not going to do it with protests. You're not going to do it with burning cars in the street. You're going to do it by becoming intelligently active and taking control of your local house. Now, once we start getting control of local houses, that just wakes up the population in general, and it won't take long to take back our house. And then we have to start a bank based on our resources, which are looking, you know, the numbers say about $35 trillion. We don't have to pay interest. Nobody's going to be homeless. Nobody's going to be hungry. Nobody's going to be unemployed. We're going to put the tariffs back on the imports because the Saudi oil crisis was about getting the tariffs off. First the cars, then everything else. And they took all of our manufacturing away from us. We don't do anything in this country. We can't feed ourselves. We don't manufacture anything for ourselves. And we're the richest country on the planet, and we need to get a hold of it.
We have so much resource in this country, Ron. That
well, we do, but we have, if you think about it, Barry, what control do we have over our resources?
None. Exactly. None. That's where I was going, Ron. Okay.
Do we have any control over our food? No. Do we have any control over anything? Do the people of this nation have any control over anything in this nation? No. And that's really pathetic because they got suckered by this idea of benefits. We're the government. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. I mean, I've run in elections and I don't run there because I'm going to get elected. I run there because I want to get a feel for where people's heads are at the time, and to sit on the stage and look at these people in the audience. They're just like little children. I don't give a shit how old they are. They're like little children. What are you going to do for us? What are you going to do for us? What are you going to do for you is the question. You know, but luckily these last couple elections, I'm starting to find, you know, kids in, you know, 15 to 19 years old who pull me over and say, you know, they don't understand what you're saying, but I do. Okay, they're too far gone, but I do understand, and we got to do something, and we do got to do something. We got to bring our generations back together again, and we got to work together, because every single generation is separated from the generation before and after. That's why the UN and these manipulators always work on a generational scale.
Right.
And we have to bring those people back together. And
really, if you think about it, Ron, you know, the society changes that I've seen in my lifetime. Things are brought in very, very slowly and incrementally. If they brought changes in at a very, very accelerated rate, society would stand up and scream.
Well, that's the whole point.
We have been lulled into this situation now. where people basically, like you said, they can't think for themselves. They have no real sense of common sense. And anything basically they see on TV is the way it is, and don't ask any questions and just go to work, drink your beer, and watch that hockey game. Professional sports, Ron. I cannot, you know, people ask me, I say to people, you know, I haven't watched a hockey game. I haven't sat down and actually watched a hockey game for a whole game for probably 6 years now. Once in a while, I'll flick on to watch the goalie highlights because I love watching goalies. I'm a goalie myself. But that's it. But you know what? To me, all professional sports, like, people are going, rah, 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 rah. The Blue Bombers won. Life is great. They all have a parade and they jump up and down and they praise and they're hugging their neighbors and friends over a stupid game. And they go back to work and everything's the same next day, man. But then they get to cheer for the Winnipeg Jets. And after the Jets, what is it, man? It's crazy. And these people live on a pedestal that's so high above ours, making $5, $6, $7, $8 million in 1 year, more than you and me and all our friends together would make in our lifetime, Ron. And they're put on a pedestal up in society. And when Kobe Bryant dies, it's like we lost God, you know? I mean, he was just a person. He's a great guy, but all he was a person that could put a ball in a basketball hoop. He's no better than you or me, but look at the platform he's put on. And what they've done with that story alone.
Exactly.
You know, like, to me, I just don't support it, Ron. And people ask me why.
We used to go to movies and stuff, and then I would explain to people, you know, what the movie's actually about, what the message in the movie is. And, you know, people go, well, it's just entertainment. No, it's not.
No, it's not. They're telling
it's not entertainment.
They're telling you what's coming.
Okay? It's indoctrination.
Exactly. And but we laughed at it. Like Zombie Apocalypse. Remember that movie came out, Ron? And everybody's going, wow, what a crazy movie. Well, seriously, you walk downtown some cities now, and you're almost there. And if you ask some people a question, they're stuck for an answer. Go ahead.
Well, the upside is, the actual upside of this is, right at the minute, is that they're rushing for the goal line now. Okay? And they're upsetting every apple cart and negatively impacting so many people. You know, that this is our opportunity to educate the people. And, like I told Monica, you know, we still have our forefathers' blood going through our veins. We just got to get it reactivated. Okay. They were strong of the spirit, mind, and spine. We become weak of the spirit, mind, and spine. But it's still our same, it's our forefathers' blood. We just got to get it reactivated. You know, if our forefathers could get out of their graves, they'd give us the biggest kick in the ass and slap up the side of the head.
We'd be out to the woodshed, Ron, you and me. We'd be out there for about 3 or 4 hours, and we wouldn't be able to sit down for about a week. I remember the woodshed growing up, buddy. I had a great deal of respect for that woodshed.
Yeah, but it's the weakness in the people. But the upside again is when I talking to students, 10 years ago I was getting a different answer. Today the answer is getting better because I asked the students, you know, like what percentage of what your teachers are teaching you do you actually think is true? 10 years ago, it was 90%, 100%. Today, the students I talk to, you know, they're going maybe 50%.
Yep.
You know, so they're starting to catch on to this bull crap.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to hook up with them. We can't look at them as you have this generation of our generation calling these other the younger generation, snowflakes and idiots and so on and so forth. No, we're all idiots. Okay? We're all idiots. Because this has been going on for generations and generations and generations. Which, don't look at another generation and call them idiots. I mean, we got sucked into this nonsense of the Cold War and the doomsday clock. And now the younger generations are sucked into the climate change and the doomsday clock, both created by the same people. So don't call the young people idiots. Okay. They were indoctrinated. We were indoctrinated.
Right.
We got to clear our minds.
A lot of them are waking up, Ron, and I see it in conversations with young people.
Yeah.
You get into a conversation about the government of Canada, and it surprises me some of the stuff that comes out of their mouths now. So they are starting to really pay attention.
That's you know, when thing. I was in high school in the Ottawa Valley, we had a gun range in the school, and we were taught to be good marksmen, right? That we were encouraged to become good marksmen. And none of the guns were locked up. There's no trigger locks, you know, and there's no nothing. You just go and do what you want to do. And I don't recall anybody shooting anybody. But if so, I walk down the main street with a stupid BB gun today,
you're going to be shot,
I would
man.
Likely get shot. You know?
Yeah,
this has gone from man to a bad movie. So we have, you know, this is a psychological war. And we have to use that psychology to turn it around. And it means we can do this, and we have to do it, because if we don't do it, the richest nation on the planet, bar none. I mean, if you think the resource per individual, 37 million people, our resources are off the scales. And look at the size of this nation and a small population. We're going to give that up?
The rest of the world's looking at us licking their lips right now, Ron, because of the way the government is running this country. They are just giving it away.
Well, but we can take it. We can take it back.
Well, we have to.
Because like I said, they want to turn the main cities into city states, which are global states. We got to get a hold of these local municipalities, which is where we live, which is our home, which is our house. And, you know, would you let somebody move into your house, Barry, or my house, or anybody else's house, move into your house and say, we're changing all the rules? Would you put up with it? No, you kick them out the freaking door. And your neighborhood, your community, that's your house. Because these are all your brothers and sisters. And we've got to get the house back.
Well, Ron, a perfect example of what you're talking about is now in the big cities, in Toronto and London and all these other places where you have a congregation of new immigrants coming into the city, and all of a sudden there's one of these new immigrants in the city council, if not two
exactly.
or three or four or five, because they know how the system works. Canadians are
well, yeah, and they're
this.
Put there on purpose.
Of course, and, they control the narrative all of a sudden. They've got power. They've come to a new land, and all of a sudden they've got power. And they understand that. And the communities, these people congregate in those communities so they can support each other in those communities. And they take that community over, and then that branches off into the next.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go to Markham.
All of a sudden they own half the city. And then they own the city.
You go to Markham, it's all Chinese. You go to Brampton, it's all East Indian.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
How do you just come in and take over a whole...
We're talking like this, but we're not.
Community.
We're talking truth, man.
Well, we're talking 100% truth, and this has not got anything to do. There's nobody out there that's going to come. There's no heroes, okay? This is what really irritates me, you know? Maxime's going to save us. No, he's not. He's a player. The only ones that are the heroes, go look in the mirror. Okay? That is one of two things. That is the problem or that is the solution. You make the choice. Okay? Because this is up to us. Nobody else. Nobody's coming to save our bacon. This is our job, and we better get our sleeves rolled up and get to work, because if we fail to do so, then we stand as the guilty party, not the globalists, not the politicians. We stand as the guilty party. We allowed our nation to be destroyed. And that's a pathetic, pathetic thing to allow to happen. We don't need guns. We don't need violence. That's what they want. Okay? They're taking us down quietly. We can go take it back quietly. All we have to do is educate our people, get the people to understand what's going on, and then go get control of our houses. And once we have control of all our houses, guess what we got control of? Our nation. Simple as that. So we don't need 10,000 people out protesting. You got 5 counselors, you need 15 people. You got 7, you need 21. Plus people who will go out and speak. And I'm not just talking about the candidates. I'm talking about other people that go out and get it going. Put out a little newsletter. Okay? Long before the election comes. And you got the house. We get the houses, we got the nation. Simple as that. We don't do it, we lose. If we lose, our fault.
Well, Ron, we really don't have a choice right now whether or not we can stop doing what we're doing. It's our absolute duty to...
It is our duty.
To do what we're doing right now. And, you know,
we have a duty to our forefathers who sacrificed so much.
Well, look what they gave up for us, and what are we doing right now? We're allowing it to slip out of our hands without even as much as a battle. Yeah, and I wonder why Canadians can't wake up and smell the coffee, because it's so in our face now. Well, buddy, it's so in our face right now. There's no excuse in my world for anybody going, hey, I don't know enough to really understand what's going on. I say bull to that, because it's in your face. It's right there, and there is no denying what's going on. So I say to people, buddy, and it's something I kind of think about all the time. I think about my children. And my children's children.
Yeah, we don't have to get angry.
What's coming to them? I'm not getting angry.
No, I understand what you're saying.
What I am getting is a little disappointed in Canadians'
ability totally
to get off their butts and do something and help us stop.
Yeah, you know how long I've been putting up with this? I mean, in the 70s when I was in Vancouver and we had a marketing company, people who had moved up from the States to retire in that. You know, I would be talking to them and they'd say, oh, what part of America are you from? I said, I'm not from America. I'm a Canadian. And they go, well, you can't be a Canadian. You got too much jam. I mean, Canadians are really nice people, but the most docile people we ever met. And you ain't one of them.
Well, there's a few people in this country that don't fit the prototype. You know, there is some good people now that are really standing up.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I understand that. Okay, but there's so many people being led so far astray by this controlled opposition garbage that, you know, they're still looking for some hero out there. That's got to stop. It really does have to stop. We've got to become adults. We've got to become responsible for our nation. You want somebody saying, oh, this is adequate for you. As Morris Strong said, we want to reduce your water and your energy use by 75%. Can you imagine living like that? Okay.
Once these companies
come in, get a hold of your water and your energy systems, they just keep raising the rates until you can't afford to use it, which makes you use less and less and less and less and less.
Absolutely.
So
we're down to 4 minutes here, Ron. Yeah. I'm going to have to let you go again. Why don't you tell people where they can find you again before you say goodbye for the week?
Where they can find me? I think I'm going to go to Bangladesh and get used to what it look like.
Iceland.
If we don't step up to the plate. I have a blog. It's called CanadianTruths.wordpress.com. And just Ron Stephens, STEPHENS, is my Facebook, but they keep taking my stuff down. But then they're Jays too. Anyways, I got a new song for everybody. You should do it in the morning when you wake up, you know. I've got the Bagel Blues.
Okay. So much for your singing career, right?
Anyways, I didn't mean to rag at anybody or try to be too forceful. I'm just trying to say what needs to get said, and I hope people understand it. And that's about it. That's about all you can do.
Ron, you're absolutely correct. That is all we can do at this point, and we'll keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And hopefully every week when we do reiterate on our thoughts and express our feelings, that somebody will go away with a better thought about what's going on in this world. And really, what is the list of your priorities? And to me, my children, the future, and our freedoms, and what we perceive as freedoms right now in this country, are the most important things in my life. And for me, I couldn't think of anything else that would encompass my time as much as trying to get people aware of the danger that we're in. If we don't stop it soon, Ron, I think the window will close. I don't believe we're that close to it yet, but I believe we're getting close to that opportunity.
Well, they're trying to bring us to the same position as it brought France, and we can't.
It's all coming, Ron. I know. We're just years behind them.
And we can't allow that to happen here.
We can't. Thanks for joining me again, Ron. I always love having you.
Thanks for having me on, Barry. And someday I'm going to get to BC and tour the place again. Because I really miss BC.
I'll take you in the bush and show you some mushrooms. But come the first week in September and we can go out and pick a few pines.
Perfect.
Okay, Ron, I'll let you go, bud.
Thanks for having me on, my friend.
Okay, thanks. Okay, folks, that's it for this week again. Thanks for joining me. Thanks to Stephen Roberts for producing my show. Thanks to PIR and Shake and Wake for allowing this platform to bring some people in and have a chat about stuff that we love chatting about, but we don't like chatting about because a lot of it is dark stuff, but we've got to keep hitting on it. I don't know what else to say to people some days. That, you know, really, if you love your children, you love what you have right now, you love, I call them perceived freedoms that we enjoy right now, then we really have to get actively involved. Ron talking about getting involved at the municipal level makes perfect sense to me. Maybe it's something people will consider doing to really turn this thing around. We have got a big pile of problems to fix. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to have Vinny Eastwood in next week. I haven't talked to Vinny for a while. I know he's got some interesting stuff to talk about. And I've got a doctor joining me for the second hour next week. So I'll look forward to seeing you guys then. Have a great week. Thanks for joining in, and bye for now.